Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined. Look, I'm not even going to give you a hard time tonight. You saved me from an awkward situation, so I really appreciate you coming on. Harrison Fagan is on for a rare 2 day in a row appearance. So you guys enjoy
it. I mean, you aren't going to give me a hard time, but honestly, 2 days in a row was rare when I was the co-host of this podcast.
I know. This is crazy. You're working harder for free than you did before you were.
Wait, this is for free?
Anyway, so today's show, you're like Boogie. You're taking a pay cut to come on the Golden State Warriors of podcasts.
You're at least buying me dinner tomorrow.
What? Okay. All right, so today's show, Harrison and I, it's going to shock you guys, are on opposite ends of the spectrum here. I am not thrilled with the moves since LeBron James, and Harrison thinks that after LeBron James, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and the Lakers are not allowed to be criticized. So we are going to talk about that, and we're going to let that conversation steer us into this Boogie situation and what effect that has on the plans moving forward. Harrison actually said that my take on it was interesting in the Silver Screen and Roll Slack. So you guys have that to look forward to.
Hold on now. I said that it was the most interesting thing that you had point that you had made today, which, I mean, in the last 24 hours, you have panicked that Philly is getting LeBron because they got a meeting and the Lakers, it hadn't leaked that the Lakers had yet. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not even going to get into all of them on the podcast. But
And Harrison has a hot take, so we'll squeeze that in there. We'll probably do that at the very end. As always, you guys know where to find the show: Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers, and you can follow Harrison on Twitter at Lakers Apologist.
I think that actually is an account that I've seen.
I think so, too. Actually, like as I was
saying, that is not my account, to be clear.
All right. So here's the thing. And I tweeted this today. It's hard to complain about a Lakers offseason, especially compared to the last five off seasons that the Lakers have had.
But don't worry, guys. Anthony's going to try. They signed LeBron literally like 24 hours ago, as of the time that we're recording this, and Anthony is already ready to exorciate this incompetent front office that just signed LeBron, maybe the greatest player in NBA history.
Yeah, you guys ready for that?
Yeah, I've been dealing with it all day, so I'm excited to hear the audience reaction to it.
All right. When you have LeBron, it's a pretty simple equation here. You surround him with shooters. Guess who aren't shooters, Harrison? Rajon Rondo isn't
literally
a shooter.
Everyone they signed.
Rajon Rondo isn't a shooter. JaVale McGee, also not a shooter. Lance Stephenson, who is not exactly a class act, also not a shooter either. And he's going to be in the starting lineup with Lonzo Ball, who is an inconsistent, if not outright bad shooter as well, right? So like, how did the Lakers watch what worked for the Cleveland Cavaliers all this time and think to themselves, these are the moves that we're making?
Okay, so you conveniently forgot about one of the additions. They re-signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who is a very good shooter, coming off of two consecutive seasons of the best three-point shooting in his career. Mm-hmm. And so
36 and then 39.
Yeah, KCP's a legitimately good shooter, and he would have shot even better last year if you remove the part where he was in prison.
Also,
and
so, class act. Like, please tell me that the Lakers aren't going to sell me or try to tell me that Lance Stephenson is like a class act.
I don't think that anyone's going to try and sell you on that. But Rondo, to be fair, like I've criticized Rondo's shooting. I've criticized his game in the past. On spot ups this year, I saw this going around. He was like 35%, which isn't great, but that's credible.
Well,
like
that's, the sample that's good is enough. The sample. I don't think he shoots.
I mean, like that's good enough that if he can continue that, is that's credible enough that defenses at least have to guard you, or you can make them pay just enough if they leave you. And so, I mean, this isn't going to be the prime LeBron Heat, where they pretty much had like four shooters on the floor with him almost at all times, or at least like three shooters on the floor. And so this isn't going to be that. But I do think that there's a pretty obvious formula here when you're looking at this roster, and they wanted guys who are long and can defend multiple positions, maybe not like defensive stoppers one-on-one, but all these guys are good team defenders. They're rangy and they can get after it.
So when they got care. That,
huh?
When they care.
Yeah, when they care, and they will care once it gets to the playoffs. We'll see if the LeBron-led malaise from the Cleveland Cavaliers makes its way over, and all of a sudden the Lakers stop caring at all about the regular season. But, I mean, we'll see. They defended with a lot of kind of zest last season. We'll see if Luke Walton can get them to do it again. And I think the other thing that they're very clearly after is guys that they don't have to make a long commitment to. So I think some people have been really – they've gotten like sticker shock at the price tags of these deals and how much the Lakers are paying these guys for 1 year versus how much other guys are getting for the amount of their contracts. And I think the Lakers are to some degree paying a premium to get guys that are kind of their archetype, and then getting those guys to take 1 year deals because they want to keep the maximum cap space free for Kawhi Leonard. And they have freed, as of today, they have freed up enough for next summer to where they could sign him outright, which then I think allows you to back the Spurs up against, like, that completely puts the Spurs on their heels, because at this point the Lakers are able to go to them and say, look, we got LeBron. You can't say that this gets us LeBron. We have enough cap space to sign him next summer. Either you give him to us now for a reasonable package, or we're just going to sign him from you. And as long as Kawhi continues to say, I will only go to the Lakers, the Spurs leverage is completely destroyed now. And so I think that all of this kind of factors in to that, to me.
I'm gonna respond to that here in a second. Here's the thing. The Lakers are going to have LeBron for maybe three prime years, and then everything beyond that, who knows, right? And I just don't think you waste 33% of the time that you're going to have with a guy while he's at anywhere near the peak of his powers. And there's a chance here. Now, you're talking about ways that it could work out, but if you're talking about ways that it could work out, there are also ways that it couldn't work out.
It's not a perfect plan. I'm not trying to say it's a perfect plan. I just think that there is evidence that there is a plan. People are basically saying that they're incompetent, they're overvaluing guys. I think that there very much is a plan here. I don't know that it's the best plan, but I also can't tell you that there are these shooters on the market that they have missed out on or completely whiffed on. This might not be a fair question for you because you might not have it pulled up in front of you or made a Rolodex of it, but are there guys that you would have rather signed that would fit that archetype that you're looking for more of just a pure shooter?
Seth Curry.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, but he is coming back from injury, and I think there's probably a certain level of comfortability and respect that LeBron has for guys like Rajon Rondo, has for guys like JaVale McGee, has for guys like Lance Stevenson, because these are all guys that have gone up in playoff battles against him and have not backed down, and I think that probably matters to him. And
yes, that LeBron is valuing how well he stomped out Lance Stevenson over the years. Like, that's great.
I think it takes balls to go up and blow in LeBron's ears or get all over him. And I think LeBron probably respects that. And he's like, hey, this is a guy that I can take into a game against Golden State, and he is going to irritate the hell out of Kevin Durant, or he is going to go Draymond Green.
Yeah,
kicking him in the nuts and getting ejected.
He's going to poke the bear in the ways that he poked the bear with LeBron. And then LeBron, or in this case, Durant, is going to stomp him out of any kind of contention, right? Like,
I don't know if that's – Golden State has shown a tendency. If you rough them up, they sometimes will fall back a little. Like, Stephen Curry can very much be – I'm not going to say he wilts under pressure, but he can be banged up enough and just by playing good hard-nosed defense that you're going to get him off kilter. And like that, especially in the playoffs.
It's hard to tell if he actually does get banged up or if he's just using any kind of injury or ding to – as an excuse for his typical finals.
His flusters, fans certainly do.
I want to get back to, you mentioned the Kawhi thing, and I think that's the point that I will admit to, and I think that this is where the plan does actually show up, is that they still have leverage over the Spurs by just saying, look, You can send them somewhere else, but that those places you're going to send them aren't going to offer you up fair value for him because they think they're going to lose him anyway. You could send him our way, and we don't have to give you fair value for him, but here's this package here. And now I actually – my stance on this has changed because of the Boogie situation, but at least they still have that pressure on him. I just think that there are shooters out there, or there are moves that could have been made that bring over a shooter, and you can – I just think that would have been a better use of their money. I mean, hell – so we
I just think I sometimes about, this stuff
– I talked about Seth Curry. He's signed for four times less than Rajon Rondo is next year, and he has a player option for the following year that if he's even decent, he's not going to accept, right? And you know, maybe the DeMarcus Cousins thing isn't quite a fair thing to think about. He didn't even consider the Lakers. He was torn between Boston and Golden State, reportedly. But if you could have had DeMarcus Cousins with the remaining $5.5 million that they have on their cap sheet, well, then how do you not put in a call? Like
I gotta stop you there. I don't.
DeMarcus said that he didn't even get a call.
They could not have had DeMarcus Cousins for that amount of money. If the offers are between the Warriors for that amount and the Lakers for that amount, he's going to the Lakers to the Warriors every time.
But you make the call. There are
reports that they didn't get a call. I don't know that that's true. I think that might be on some level that him and his agency trying to justify, like, look, he's not taking the cowardly way out to a ring. He didn't get any calls, so he went here. And, like, I don't know that actually is the case, but I don't know that it's true that nobody called. That seems unrealistic to me, especially when we had reports that the Lakers had looked into him.
But the reason he wouldn't have gotten a call goes back to what you're talking about, how this is why people are freaking out about the amount of money that they gave to some of these guys. Like, the market was – this was something that everybody talked about. Nobody was going to offer Lance Stephenson $4 million to play basketball next year.
No, but would they have offered him? Would they have offered him, you know, $4 million for a 2-year deal?
I don't think he takes that deal.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. I think that the Lakers are paying a pretty like nobody. Clearly, nobody was going to offer Rajon Rondo $9 million for next year, right? But I think somebody would have offered Rajon Rondo, I don't know, like 2 years, 14 maybe. And so I think the Lakers are paying a premium to get these guys to accept a 1-year deal versus
sign a LeBron, it implies that you don't have to pay that premium. Like
I think you do if you want guys to like get rid of financial security to do it.
But if you're financial security with some of the numbers being thrown around here, but you when you sign LeBron and you're the Lakers. Like that's where the Lakers were supposedly going to find value. Like that was always the point that I made when people were saying if you just add LeBron to this Lakers roster as we saw it last year, that they aren't going to be capable of very much more than the Cavs would if you put the Cavs in the West, which I think is a fair point to make. But my counter to that was always, look, that's not going to be the case because there are going to be guys who are going to be willing to take less to play with LeBron. And the Lakers like haven't even let the market force guys into doing that. They just rushed to some of these signings. Like, who was in a rush to sign JaVale McGee?
They signed McGee's on the minimum. You can't really criticize. That's on the minimum. Well, I mean, they aren't. That's not even real money because you can go over the cap to pay the minimum.
Right, but what I'm saying though is like, who was in a rush to sign Lance Stephenson? Who was in a rush to sign Rajon Rondo? Especially the deals that they gave him.
I think there are things that we can't know. Like with the DeMarcus Cousins thing, we just can't know what else he was being offered and what other situations and whatever. I just think that there are behind the scenes things that are unknowable. And it's almost like we try to judge this stuff so fast the second these deals are signed. And I just think that, you know, obviously there's a market for that. But I think we're being intellectually dishonest on some level if we don't at least see – you know, can Lance Stephenson play better next to LeBron? Is Rajon Rondo a good fit in an offense like that? And like, how well can this team defend with these guys on the court together? And I just think that they might have been making that I'm sure that they surveyed the league before free agency because every team does this. I don't know why we have to lie to ourselves every single year and just say like we've heard so much about it that it can't just not be like. Andrew Bogut was tweeting about it, that half these deals are agreed to before that. Nobody negotiates a multi-million dollar contract in 4 minutes. And so the Lakers clearly surveyed the league, and they felt, for whatever reason, that these were the best guys that they could get on one-year deals for these prices. And so I think people were upset about the Randall moving on thing. I think the writing was on the wall for that for so long. Even as well as he had played, he was going to want more than they could give him. They don't want to give out multi-year deals.
He took what they gave Rajon Rondo, but for a year longer.
Yeah, but they don't want to tie up that cap space. The whole point of signing Rondo is that you have the cap space now to go and sign Kawhi outright. I wrote it last night as, like, this is Magic Johnson basically pretending to be Kobe Bryant. Like, he is playing a style of team management that is – like, known to be inefficient. People are going to scream out, like, this is not the way that you manage a team. You don't just free up cap space every year and then sign a superstar. But Magic and the Lakers might be good enough recruiters to just go and do that. It's just like Kobe could go and take, like, the most inefficient shots in basketball and still tear the league's heart out.
I want to go back and point out before we take a quick second here, I want to go back and point out there has to be some kind of irony to you telling me not to rush into judgment here while I'm telling the Lakers not to rush into their decisions with some of these guys. Like, there has to be a joke there, and I'm pissed at myself that I wasn't able to figure it out. All right, we're going to take a quick second. When we come back, I want to continue the conversation about Julius Randle, and then we'll get into a little bit more of the Boogie stuff and how that pertains here to the Lakers in their plans moving forward. We'll do that here in a second. So you mentioned that Julius Randle and that the writing was on the wall with Julius Randle and the Lakers. And here's my problem with that, is that the writing always kind of sort of seems to be on the wall with guys who Magic didn't draft. And look, I get it. It's kind of like a lion with a male lion that takes over a pride, right? They go through and they stomp out all the cubs. Just so that they can their line can continue, and Magic comes in here, boom, D'Angelo Russell gone, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr. in an albeit an objectively good move gone, Julius Randle now gone,
Hold on, both objectively good moves. You're admitting now that the D'Angelo Russell one objectively good move.
No.
Anthony.
I think it's a good move, but I don't think it's objectively good. It's like
it's objectively good now.
No.
Like, process-wise, I don't know that it was the best process, but it worked out.
But here again, Harrison, like, here's where people get angry at me for pointing out process and being so anal about process. Like, this is why I'm anal about process, is because
were you just sitting there when Kobe hit that fall away buzzer beater over Dwayne Wade against the Heat? I think it was 2009, where he was like falling to the ground. Were you like, everybody else was screaming? You were probably sitting at your TV. You're like, could take a better shot, Kobe. What if it hadn't went in?
Well, he didn't have a better shot to take, so no.
Oh my God.
But like, if Kobe takes that with 7 seconds left on the shot clock, I'd be a little worried about
if he made it.
His future choice. Yes, even if he made it.
Okay, well, but my point is they sunk the game winner. They signed the GOAT, man.
And sure, like, but then they turned around in the next 24 hours.
You're gonna sit here and tell me that the D'Angelo Russell. I'm sorry, I dealt with you for the past 2 years. You have to like clarify this. You are still saying the D'Angelo Russell trade not an objectively good move.
I think it's a move that turned out well, but that's as far as I'm going to go there. Because again, Harrison, again, it comes back to process, and processes they let you kind of foresee what might be coming after that. So yes, they signed LeBron James. Way to go, guys. But then after that, in the 24 hours after that, they went and signed three people who left a bad taste in my mouth, despite having signed LeBron James. Like, that's why I pay attention to process, because you know, if somebody succeeds with bad process, we never really know if they're good at or if they're ever going to figure out what good process is.
How many times do they have to succeed with bad process for you to admit that they just may be working under a different scale?
More than once. How about that?
So if some of these signings work out, you'll be willing to walk it back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, because then, like, if they show a consistent process and that process is consistently successful, then I have to rethink what is best process for these Lakers. But based on how I feel about what's best process for these Lakers, I don't think the D'Angelo Russell trade at the time was a very good move. And it turned out well. And it turned out extremely well. I'm really happy that the Lakers have LeBron James on the team that I root for.
I color me shocked that it took you less than one day to become apoplectic at the Lakers front office again after they signed LeBron James.
They signed JaVale McGee. Of course I'm apoplectic.
JaVale McGee is okay. He's not like – if they go into the next year with JaVale McGee as their starting center, that's probably a problem. But – like, JaVale McGee is fine. For the veterans minimum, he's fine.
He's and fine, but there are better options out there that are more fine.
I think they're going to end up – my guess is that they end up going after Brook Lopez with the rest of this cap space.
That's a good guess.
After the market drives up for him. They're going to use the
Disneyland exception. The Disneyland exception. I'm cool with that. And they absolutely need to, because going into next season with JaVale McGee as your starting five is not going to turn out very well. And Zubats, Ivica Zubats being your primary backup center, like,
keep forgetting that he wasn't the one that was cut and it was Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, also great process, guys.
He looks good for Croatia right now.
Huh?
He looks good for Croatia right now.
That's cool. He's playing against guys who smoke at halftime. I want to talk about the Boogie thing before we get out of here. And DeMarcus Cousins, obviously, as everybody listening to this podcast probably knows, is now a Golden State Warrior. And
ruined basketball.
Well, that's a separate point. That I was adamantly against the talking point that they ruined basketball before. But now I think they're legitimately turning into a bad thing for the league.
Honestly, I think everybody's overreacting to this. Like, DeMarcus Cousins just tore his Achilles. He's 7 foot, and he's never had a reputation as an incredibly hard worker as far as staying in shape or all of that stuff. Like, by all accounts, a good person, does charity in the community, all of that stuff. But he's never had this, like, he's never had this reputation as an insane worker. And all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe that he's going to come back halfway through the season after one of the worst injuries any professional athlete can suffer. And he's supposed to be the first 7-footer to ever – the first mobile 7-footer, especially one that carries as much weight as him, to come back and be effective. Like, I don't know. I just don't buy it, man. Like, I don't think that – like, people are reacting because of the name. I don't really think that this is going to be that great of a signing.
Here's the thing. It's about value. It's about market value. And even with everything that you just said –
he was not going to take that deal from the Lakers.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm saying that if I were to tell you going into this summer that DeMarcus Cousins could be had for $5.5 million, you'd have said I was insane. Insane. Yeah.
But, I mean, I think he can be had by the Warriors for that price. Well, we have no evidence
sure,
that he can be
but
had
that's,
by another
but that's
team for
the,
that price.
But that's where the Warriors are becoming bad for basketball, is that they keep on convincing millionaires to take pay cuts to benefit a billionaire. I think that's terrible.
Okay, I agree with that, but that's bad capitalism. I don't know if it's bad basketball.
Well, but it's bad for the players union too. And
yeah,
and
like, it is bad for the players union. You made a good point on Twitter about that.
Like the LeBron and Chris Paul both took max deals this offseason, and they had to do that because of the positions that they hold. And and now they are put because they are doing what's best for the union, and really for a union of so few athletes, it's really important to prioritize the union. Like, what they're doing is almost objectively better for the league, because it ensures that guys keep on getting paid fair wages. And now by Golden State continuing to take these pay cuts, now the only way to compete with them, and this is what I said, and this was the point that I was making in Slack, was that the only way for the Lakers to compete with Golden State after this year, especially if DeMarcus, because like what you're talking about, if he doesn't perform very well, guess what that's going to do? It's going to suppress his price going into next season too. And there's a chance that he returns and has more time to get to full health as a member of the Golden State Warriors. And if he does, or if he gets to 75-80% of his health, well, now you're talking about a team that's a legitimate all-star team for the next, 3-4 years. And so for the Lakers, And the knee-jerk reaction would have been to say, all right, we got to keep up with the Warriors. We got to trade for Kawhi right now, and we got to try to keep up with the team that they're building. But actually, it's the opposite. I think they're better served kind of sort of punting this year. They're forced to punt because of the stupid signings that they've made. But I think what they have to do here is they don't trade for Kawhi Leonard. They hope that Brandon Ingram lives up to his full potential. They hope that Kuzma lives up to his full potential. They don't give up any of these assets. Kawhi signs in the offseason, hopefully for below market value. And they are able to somehow swing another deal for another superstar. And that's the best way, in my opinion, to be able to contend with what Golden State is doing. I just don't know if you can even actually do that while the vice president of the Players Association is on that team.
Yeah. I mean, to paraphrase our good friend, Damon Rangula, I'm just really glad that, you know, blue collar union man LeBron versus venture capitalist Golden State, like LeBron in Los Angeles representing the real America,
yeah,
the hardworking America,
exactly,
is the next rivalry for our time.
it needs to happen, right? It's the South versus the North again. Although I don't want to be on that side of history. What do you think about the theory, though? Because you almost never give me credit as quickly as you did. But
Anthony, I never give you credit in Slack because you come in there with these insane takes that you're product testing for Twitter, and you're like, damn it, they're on to me. You basically come into the channel. You're like, how bad am I going to get ratioed for this take? And like most of the time, I just sit there shaking my head at my computer. But, you know, this time I was like, you know what, Anthony, that's not objectively insane. Let's try and steer you down a correct path.
So it would imply, though, with you finding it even comparatively interesting, that you weren't thinking of that as this was all going on. Like when the boogie news were you thinking of the arms race kind of strategy here?
I was a little bit, but at the same time, that wasn't my primary concern because I wasn't, number one, I wasn't really concerned. But number two, just from an analysis standpoint, I really don't think that this is as big of a deal as people are making it. I know DeMarcus Cousins is really good. I don't know that DeMarcus Cousins right after an Achilles tear is good. Generally, people, it takes a year to come back from a torn Achilles, and it takes 2 years to actually get back to somewhat close to yourself and to trust.
Kobe never did.
Yeah, and Kobe did. He finally did for his final game, and so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that this is going to be this. And like, Kobe worked harder. I know you hate Kobe, but Kobe worked.
This is why I use him as an example.
Yeah, he worked harder than anyone ever works, mm-hmm. And like DeMarcus Cousins does not have that reputation. I just don't totally buy that this is this league ruining signing. I actually think, like, small hot take before my actual hot take, DeMarcus Cousins' double agent goes to Golden State to rehab with their trainers, blows up the locker room, and then comes down to the Lakers on a max deal, regains full effectiveness next summer.
I'm cool with that.
He spends the whole year telling KD, they're like, hey, man, they gave me set third Splash Brother, like, as soon as I walked in the door. That doesn't really seem fair. Oh, man, did you see Draymond, the way he looked at you? You should stand up. You need to go get your own team, man. You don't deserve this.
Holy shit. I didn't even think of KD as, like, why they never made him the third Splash Brother.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Golden State, is he actually going to re-sign? We don't know. It's in jeopardy now. Maybe KD to the Knicks. I'm calling it.
I'm one for two in my theories in this offseason. I whiffed horribly on the Kevin Durant one, and that was even sourced. I didn't even have.
I know somewhat where you were getting that sourcing from, and I told you not to believe it.
Well, sure. And then the other one was the one regarding Kawhi Leonard and my thinking that LeBron was working behind the scenes to tell the Lakers, don't give up too much because I need you guys to have as many young pieces to turn into Lance Stevenson as possible. but you alluded to, and I'm sure everybody listening is really excited for the first Harrison's hot take that we've had in quite some time.
The first freelance Harrison's hot take, I guess. Yeah. Do you still have the sound effect lying around?
No.
Okay. Well, can you just make the noise?
Yeah, you want me to?
Yeah.
All right. Harrison's hot take.
Do, 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 do. All right, Anthony. I just think we didn't even talk about, and it just shows you how transaction focused the modern NBA is. We spent this entire podcast. We didn't even talk about the actual basketball game happening tonight, Anthony. It was the first game of the so-called LeBron James era, and the so-called king was nowhere to be found. Literally, I didn't even notice him out there. The Lakers lose to the actual Kings, who demonstrated their sovereignty as California's best team right now, undefeated in July.
I
was watching this game, and LeBron just straight up didn't show up to play. I didn't see him out there. He did 0 points, 0 rebounds. 0 assists, shot 0% from the field. He literally did not make a single shot tonight, Anthony. And my thing is, I don't understand why the Lakers would play a game before they were allowed to technically sign free agents or have them under contract. But after seeing this performance, this disgraceful choking from LeBron, this was a choke job, Anthony. After seeing this, they got to back out of the verbal agreement. I don't think that they can sign him anymore. I know that that is suicide with agents and that they are not going to trust you when you are making deals anymore. But the Lakers have to back out of this. They need – that is a lot of money to commit to LaFraud. And I just – I don't think that they can do it. I think I'm out there – I'm watching Josh Hart take over that game, and he was showing me a lot of heart. And I just think, why take the ball out of his hands? Why give it to old LeBron? He's just going to stunt these young guys like Mo Wagner and Svi Mykolala, like, development, okay? I don't see any point in signing LeBron anymore. Like, if this is how he's going to behave, and he's too much of a diva, he's on vacation with his family while his team has their first game since he came to show up with them. It's disgraceful, Anthony. I do not buy the LeBron James hype anymore. And I just think that they need to cut bait before this comes back. This double-edged sword comes back to cut them.
Can I point out that he literally could not have played?
That would poke a hole in my theory.
A little bit.
This is how I feel. See how you're feeling right now. That's how I feel when you come into Slack.
Fun fact: I actually had that take in the Slack tonight, and Harrison just completely ripped it for his Harrison's hot take.
Did you actually?
No.
Oh,
God! It's pretty bad that you believe me there for a second. I gotta cool it down a little bit. I also wanted to point out that you said the actual Kings, and you meant it by, like, you know, royalty. But it also applies to that being the actual Sacramento Kings of this upcoming season.
I know. I honestly want to make fun of those Sacramento fans, but honestly, I respect it. Like, they are still dedicated to their team, despite no evidence that they should remain so. And they keep showing up for that. That was basically their starting five tonight. And yeah, they barely beat the Lakers, like, second and third and maybe G League guy. Like, just barely beat them. And, like, LeBron only needs to play the first quarter next year, and the Lakers are going to demolish them.
You're talking about the team that Sacramento went up against there. That wasn't even the full crappy team. Like, Alex Caruso wasn't there. Malik Newman wasn't there.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
poor,
like,
Sacramento.
That was Josh Hart franchise player going up against the Sacramento Kings, like, actual starting five and almost winning.
He got thrown out of a summer league game.
Like, I'm telling you, Luke Walton just should let Miles Simon actually coach their games against the Kings this year. Just as like a troll job.
Yeah. No, LeBron should go on vacation every time they play the Kings. All right. So this was part one of this week's two-part series with Harrison back on the show. Thank you, Harrison, for hopping on at such late notice and actually putting together a hot take. That was fun.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that you finally let me back on the podcast, and I'm excited to announce that I'm coming back as co-host.
Oh.
And you know, I'm really excited to be back because it's been a little ways away, but I'm excited to get in on some of this LeBron money now.
I'm going to have to fire you before we even get going here for contractual issues, and Pete has really helped in the download area, but I appreciate you hopping on.
Oh, well, okay.
I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.